It Is Well With My Soul, 417. How many know this song, It Is Well With My Soul? Raise your hand if you know it. Okay, I expect all those who I just saw with their hand up singing like crazy, all right? I want to hear you sing, and let's have a good time here. 417. I like this song.
What a good message to pass. Really, sometimes it sends chills up your spine a little bit, because the writer of this song was inspired to write it when he was way back in the early days of the Chicago fire. He had sent his daughters and wife on a boat over to England, and he was going to join them after he got done with some business. And on the way over, the boat crashed, sank, and he had four daughters. All four of them drowned. His wife alone survived and sent a message back, saved. Saved alone. And he, on his way over to meet his wife, wrote this song, and some of it almost at the very spot where his daughters were.
might see the broken heart I had was good for me. He tore it all apart and looked inside. He found it full of fear, so much foolish pride. He swept away the things that made me blind, and then I saw were silver lined. And now I understand 'twas best for me. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see the glory of himself revealed to me. I did not know that he had wounded hands, and I saw the blood he spilled upon the sands. I saw the marks of shame, and I wept and I cried. He was my substitute, for me he died. And now I'm glad he came so tenderly. And he washed my eyes with tears that I might see. And now I'm glad he came so tenderly. And he washed my eyes with tears that I might see. I might see.
Matthew chapter 11. as we continue verse-by-verse study through the book of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew presents Jesus as the King of Israel. Mark presents Jesus as the suffering servant of Israel. Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man that he was, really human man. And then the Gospel of John presents Jesus as the Son of God, as the Son from heaven. Luke would be more like the Son of Mary. John would be the Son of God. And all four Gospels are given so that we might have four separate perspectives of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not in competition with each other. They're complementing each other. But each of the four Gospels has a certain reason for being. The reason why they wrote this one, in order to show that Jesus is the rightful king over Israel. And one of the things we're looking at right now in chapter 11, we've already gone down through verse 12, verses 1 through 12. We have had presented to us the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist. He was born 6 months before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And he was called by God to prepare Israel by his preaching to get ready to receive Jesus as their Messiah and their rightful king. He was to prepare Israel. And he did a great job, John the Baptist did. And many people did listen to him, and many were baptized by him. That's why he's called the Baptist, John the Baptist. And that's right out of the Bible that he's called that. And many people were getting ready, confessing their sins and getting ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist himself had an opportunity during his ministry toward the end, before he was thrown into prison, to present Jesus to his own disciples as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He pointed the people to Jesus. And by the way, that's the same ministry we all have today. What do we need to do? We need to point people to the Lamb of God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb, of course, is an animal used in the Old Testament as a sacrificial animal to cover the sins of the Old Testament saints who believed in God's way of salvation by the shedding of blood. But now came one who would put away the need for the shedding of blood of animals, as he himself would shed his own blood, his perfect blood, his precious blood on the cross in order to save anybody. Whosoever will may believe in Jesus Christ and have their sins taken away, and in its place receive the gift of everlasting life. It's a wonderful message. Well, John the Baptist preached, and next thing you know, he found himself in prison. And he sent two of his disciples to go to Jesus and ask him, "Art thou the Messiah, or do we look for another?" And Jesus reminded John the Baptist that the scriptures are being fulfilled. People are getting healed. He's raising the dead. He's healing the blind, healing the lame. And the message went back to John that, look, everything that Isaiah said was going to take place when the Messiah would come is taking place. And so John the Baptist went to his death. They actually cut his head off, beheaded him. You can wonder if John the Baptist was wondering, well, how is the kingdom going to come if I'm in prison and I'm supposed to prepare Israel? Well, the problem is, John didn't know this, but the scriptures teach us that there would be two parts to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he would come in order to save man from their sins. The second coming of the Lord would be as he comes in judgment someday, and that's still yet future. And there would come another one, just like John the Baptist did, to prepare the children of Israel for the king to come. The Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, and he's coming again. He came the first time to provide salvation for us by his own sacrifice on the cross. He comes the second time to judge the world and then to set up his own kingdom here on this earth. And that is going to take place. It may take place sooner than we think. I believe we're winding down in the prophetic time frame to coming to the time when the church will be raptured and then the beginning of getting Israel ready for their king to come. And when that takes place, there's going to come Elijah. Just like John the Baptist came the first time when Jesus came the first time to prepare the people, so also Elijah. And I believe literally Elijah of the Old Testament, who went up into heaven in a chariot. You know the Negro spiritual, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot. That's the Elijah. He's coming again, along with Moses. Two witnesses. And they're going to witness during that time, prepare Israel to receive the king. And it's talked about in our passage as we're here now in Matthew chapter 11, verse 13. That's where we ended last time. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. John the Baptist is actually a foreshadow of the Elijah who will come just before the second coming of the Lord. John was the culminating prophet before the kingdom would begin. Some who believe in reincarnation. You know what reincarnation is? You know, people think that they're going to die and then come back as someone else or something else. Depending on how they live their life in this existence, they'll come back in another existence, either in a good way or a bad way, depend upon how they live here. It's a doctrine not found in the Bible. It's an invention of men. It's a false doctrine. And, of course, over in India, the Hinduism, they have a teaching of reincarnation. And of course, they cannot touch any of the animals or use them. They have the sacred cow type of situation over there. Because who knows, it might be an ancestor that's now living on earth in the form of a cow. Sometimes they think you might come back as a frog. They worship some of the animals, thinking that they might have some special effect upon them as far as the afterlife. They worship snakes. They do worship frogs. They worship all kinds of things. The Hindus have millions of gods. The Christian has one God. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one we present to people. Not many. And so, why am I saying that? Because some say that John the Baptist is a reincarnation of the prophet Elijah. That he actually is Elijah reincarnated. But no, he's not. He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He would prepare the people for the Messiah who would reject him then. But Elijah was promised to come, and John the Baptist himself clearly denied that he is Elijah. Go to John chapter 1, verse 19. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 19. John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" All right, they're coming to John the Baptist. Who are you? Verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." First of all, you got that settled. I am not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" That's a New Testament way of saying the Old Testament name Elijah. Because they knew there was prophecies that Elijah would come and prepare the way of the Lord, make the crooked way straight and the valley smooth. They knew what the scriptures say. "Art thou Elias?" And he saith, I am not. All right, there goes your reincarnation doctrine right out of the air. Okay, it's gone. Elijah is not a reincarnated, John the Baptist is not a reincarnated Elijah. So forget that. And don't even believe such a thing as that. You're not coming back as somebody else. You are who you are, and God made you who you are. The thing about it is, because you were born of sinful parents, who were born of sinful parents all the way back to Adam and Eve, you're a sinner, and you're separated from God. And you need to be saved from that situation, that condition of being a sinner. Because you're not coming back and get another chance. And you're not going to come back in a higher level because you were really good here. And over in India, they have a caste system. And some of the people are in the top, some are in the middle, and some are on the bottom. You got the untouchables down there, you got those who can be touched, and then you got the holy ones. What a mess. No such thing as that. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one who's way up here and you're way down there. We're all right here. But you know what? All of us, though we're right here, are way below God. He is holy. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So John says, no, I'm not Elias. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. If you have a cross-reference Bible, it probably says go over to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, and you'd find those words. John the Baptist said, I'm just one crying in the wilderness. And that's exactly what he did. If you remember last week, we talked about John the Baptist wearing a leather girdle, eating locusts and wild honey. And that was his method. Wasn't very impressive. I wonder how many people would go listen to a preacher like that today. Leathern girdle and he eats locusts and wild honey. No, they want a guy who's, oh boy, he's all, robes and everything else. He's got doctor degrees. He really can talk good and smooth. That's what people want today. But guess what we need today? We need John the Baptists today. Men who will preach it right. Preach the truth. Prepare people for the Messiah. And in order to do that, you got to preach against sin. You know, when you talk about being saved, you got to be saved from something. A lot of people want to get on this bandwagon of being, I'm born again, and oh boy, I go to this church, and well, you should see this, and what they're doing there, and they're healing people, and they're jumping around in the aisles, and all kinds of stuff. What did you get saved from? You have to get saved from sin. And why is John the Baptist at this point in jail? You know why he's in jail? Because he told the king that it was wrong for him to have his brother's wife. He was living in an adulterous situation. And you know what happened? He threw him in jail. Well, I'll shut you up. Put him in jail. He preached against sin. I'm going to say this. We need preaching against sin. Before you even try to get someone to receive the gospel message, they need to see that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. Then give them the remedy. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save you from your... We're getting people who say, well, I'd like to become a part of your church. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter if you become part of our church or any church, or join all the churches. It ain't going to help you. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. From what? Sin. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to be separated from God forever in a place called hell. Now, that's just plain out Bible. Well, that doesn't help people's self-esteem, Pastor. You got to be a little more positive. Here's the positive part. God loves you and sent Jesus to die for you. And all you need to do is accept him as your Savior from sin, and he will give you everlasting life and a home in heaven and wash your sins away. There's the positive. And also give you a new life to live for the honor and glory of the Lord. would give you power over the things that once kept you slave to itself, sin and so forth. Oh, that's good. No reincarnation, John the Baptist says. Verse 24, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whom coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what John was here for, to preach that type of a message. Elijah will come again before Christ's second coming. And well, how do you know that? Because Jesus said so. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 9. Now, John the Baptist has already lived, done his ministry, prepared the people for Jesus to come, even said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, told his disciples to follow Jesus, thrown into prison, head cut off. John the Baptist is gone. So if some want to say, oh, he was Elijah, reincarnate, no. Now look what Jesus says. In Matthew 17, verse 9, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake of them of John the Baptist. Here the Lord equates John's ministry with Elijah's ministry, which he will do before the second coming of the Lord. And he says, but you know what? Elias already came and they knew it not. I mean, look at the way they treated John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah, and they rejected him. And he says, you know what? They're going to do the same thing to the Son of Man. They're going to reject me too. So then when he says, Elijah will surely come, he's talking about the second coming when he comes back again. There's two comings of the Lord. The first one, he came to die on the cross. And John the Baptist in the spirit of Elijah prepared the people. But they rejected him. John the Baptist was slain. They rejected Jesus. He was slain. But he's coming back again. And his second coming, Elijah will prepare Israel. I believe along with Moses, the two witnesses. And they'll prepare Israel for the second coming of the Lord. And that time they won't reject him. All Israel will receive the Lord. You know, there's coming a day and it's going to be a great day. Because right now Israel is in unbelief. I mean nationally Israel is in unbelief. Thank God individual Jews do trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior during this dispensation called the church age. And we thank God for that just as we thank God for any Gentile who trusts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior right now. But do you know there's coming a day when the whole nation of Israel, after much trouble, much tribulation, are going to finally look upon Jesus and realize He is our Messiah. He did come that first time and we rejected Him. They're going to see the wounds in his hands. And they're going to receive him, believe in him as their Redeemer and Savior. And all Israel, in the Romans chapter 11, 25, teaches, and all Israel shall be saved. What a day that will be. It isn't like that right now.
They're in unbelief right now. Oh, that they could somehow see the blindness they have, but they don't. But when Elijah comes and Moses comes and 144,000 start preaching the gospel during tribulation time yet to come, after the church is raptured out, all that will take place. All Israel will finally get saved. It's going to take 7 years of tribulation until it happens, but they're finally going to get saved. That day's coming. What a wonderful day it's going to be. So back here now to Matthew chapter 11. Verse 15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. For John neither came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Jesus here speaks of John and his own rejections. John was too strict, and Jesus was too gracious. That was their attitude toward these two men. John's too strict, and Jesus, he's too gracious. Look at him. He hangs out with these publicans and sinners. John called them to mourn over sin, while Jesus bid them to rejoice at the glad tidings of the Savior in their midst. They couldn't accept either one of those messages. It's like children sitting in the markets saying, we piped on you, you have not danced. Well, that's a happy thing, you know. We've mourned over you and you have not lamented. That's kind of a negative thing. So it didn't matter whether John or Jesus, the people rejected them both. But wisdom is justified of her children. Those who did receive the truth justify it. Declare it to be, yes, that's the truth. Now, when John came, he had some disciples. But even the Pharisees and Sadducees came out to be baptized of him. And he says, hey, who told you guys to flee from the wrath to come? He wouldn't even baptize them guys. They were phonies. There were those, though, who did confess their sins and said, John, I believe what you're saying is right. Israel's in a bad way, and we need to get right with God so that the Messiah can come and save us. And they listened to John. Then when Jesus was on the scene, around 30 years of age, and he started ministering, he was a little bit different than John's approach. He came unto the sinners and said, I am the one who can save you from your sin. And I will take anybody who will receive me. And the Sadducees and Pharisees looked at Jesus and they look at that. Hey, he's talking to that woman at the well. Doesn't he know she's an adulterer? Why, that Matthew, he's a tax collector for the Roman government. He was a Jewish tax collector for the Roman government, taking advantage of his own people. And there's Jesus communing with him. They thought that's terrible. Publicans, tax collector. They didn't want anything to do with it. But I'm going to tell you what. The woman at the well was glad to receive Jesus. And Matthew, the writer of our book here, he was glad that Jesus received him, the wicked tax collector he once was. And how about that little man? Climbed up in a sycamore tree because he was little of stature. I'm going to ask you what his name is. Not right now. The little guy. Couldn't see anything. He wanted to see Jesus. He was also a tax collector too. So he climbed up into a sycamore tree. And he looked out and he saw Jesus coming his way. And Jesus came right at the foot of the tree and looked up and said, who? Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. And that day, you can just imagine all the religious leaders looking at you. Look, he's going to Zacchaeus' house. How can he be the Messiah and Savior of Israel when he's doing that? Why, even John the Baptist wouldn't do. You see, they couldn't receive either one of them. Neither one of them was good enough for those men. You know what? If you sit here today in your own self-righteousness and think that your own self-righteousness is somehow going to get you to heaven, all I can say is you're wrong. You're wrong. And you need to turn your back on all your self-righteousness and your religiosity and your church membership, your heritage. Well, hey, you don't know, my parents were good. And that may be true, but it won't get you saved. Won't get you into heaven. You need to trust the Savior. And Zacchaeus that day had the Lord in his house. And you know something happened in that house. Because Zacchaeus says, if I've taken anything from any man, I'll give it back to him four times as much as I took from him. You can just imagine some of the people, whoa, he owes me big time. Well, they're looking for the big payback there. But you know, the Lord said, salvation has come unto this house. Salvation changes a man, makes him a new creature in Christ Jesus. How about it? Have you come to know this Jesus? Or are you like the children sitting in the market? Well, I don't know if I like him. He doesn't do it this way. John the Baptist is better. I'll go with him. Their message was the same. Get ready for the King. Jesus said, I am the King. Trust in me, and I'll give you everlasting life. Well, you know what I'm trying to do, folks? I'm trying to figure out how to end this message so I don't keep you here forever. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Okay. Because I didn't get anywhere to the point that I wanted to get to. And that's the very last verse of the chapter. You say, boy, I'm glad you didn't take us all the way to there. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Next week, I'm going to talk about that statement from the Lord. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Did you hear him say it is a yoke? You know what a yoke is? It does go around your neck. Kind of holds you in place. And there is a burden. But he said the yoke is easy and the burden is light. And I know there's a congregation of people here this morning. A lot of things aren't going the way you'd like them to go. And if you could somehow get out from underneath it, you would. But I want you to know that the words that the Lord says are true. The yoke is easy. And it's a yoke you'll want to have. Everybody wants to be their own man. I'm a freelancer preacher. Don't put me in. I hear you. But there is a yoke that is a good yoke to have. Because the Lord's got a hold of the reins. I'm preaching my message already. I better wait till next week. And the burden is light. There is a burden to bear. But it's light. We'll get to that next Sunday. But let me go right back to what I was saying. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? When I was 11 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And it's been the best thing I ever did in my whole life. And I'm so happy in Jesus today. How about you? You happy in the Lord? Yeah, I didn't hear anything. You happy in the Lord? Yeah? Yes or no? Okay. Are you all sleeping? Okay, I'm sorry, I put you to sleep. Well, you know, when we have communion, it kind of pushes everything out a little bit further, and I'm sorry, I'm already past my time. But I just want you to know that Jesus is a wonderful Savior, and He wants to save you. If you haven't let Him do it, let Him do it today. Let Him save you today. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. What's the number of that song, you know, Jason? We'll sing that song if you're here today and you need help trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. While we sing this song, 427, possibly 427, 427. If you need help trusting Christ as Savior, say, I've never done that. Preacher, I need to get that matter settled now. I see I'm a sinner and need a Savior. Step out from where you're at and meet me down at the front. We'll have someone privately show you how to be saved and you can get that matter settled. Christian, oh, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord is your Savior. We had communion today, reminding us of what he did for us. We sang some of those beautiful songs. I just felt like you wanted to sing this morning and said, okay, let's sing some of these good songs. They're about our Savior Jesus Christ. And now, what we've said in the message, there's no one better than the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to him. And if you already have, I invite you to rejoice in it. Okay? Let's stand and sing this song. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. 427. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I found it so, I found it so. He leadeth me by day and by night, where living waters flow. My soul crieth out, restore me again, and give me the strength to take the narrow path. Before we leave, burden is light. You know, we all have them. And you all know that I was out at Chicago last week, and I just want to give you a report. Many of you know I have colon cancer. I've been dealing with it for 8 years, and this is the third recurrence that I've had just recently. And I went through all the chemotherapy and everything, you know, and the last 4 months I've been off of it, and I feel great, okay? I really do feel great. We went out last Monday and Tuesday we had the dismiss. Father, thank you for all you've done for us, for the time together today. Thank you for everybody who's here. Help us to go out of here with the message of salvation on our lips to tell whosoever will listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.